You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And today, we are going to talk about something very interesting, and one thing that we love to talk about is alternate universes and alternate realities. And as Star Trek fans, I feel like we have a little bit of an obsession when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
We love to talk about what could have been, what if this happened, and sometimes, like, even in... our own universe, we're like, oh, what if this person was casted differently? We love to talk about that stuff. But before we get into our own alternate universe, and we'll explain that in a little bit, we would like to talk about something that is being released next month, and that is Star Trek Online Delta Rising.
Yeah, I just watched the trailer for this baby on the other side of the room right before we started recording. Holy whoa, dude. Okay. I have not played Star Trek Online, and I don't think you have either, correct?
I played it for two stints. Like, when it first came out, I played it for about a month, and then about a year or so later, I played it for a week, and I just couldn't get into it. It felt very repetitive to me. I'm sure lots of things have changed since then, but it just, I don't know, it just didn't grab me.
Okay, because I've not played it at all. Because I know that it's a very time-consuming game. Like, it takes hours to do these missions, and I know that I don't have the time to devote to a game like that, and so I've just stayed away, even though I hear it's a lot of fun and there's so much cool stuff that you can do. Okay, I just watched this trailer, and I had no idea, first of all, how awesome the graphics are for this baby.
Yeah, everybody Google Delta Rising official announcement trailer, and you'll see what we're seeing.
It is beautiful. Abso-friggin-lutely beautiful. And not only that, but little things like seeing, I don't know, is he a Badmiral, Tuvok?
Okay, here's the thing, is that Star Trek Online is expanding into the Delta Quadrant, and that's why we're talking about it, is because it's going into the Delta Quadrant, and so they're opening up an entire new quadrant of the galaxy, and designers of the game and producers of the game were like, yeah, this is huge, this is one of the biggest expansions that we've ever done, if not the biggest, and they've been working with Tim Russ for a while in order to get the stories up to snuff, and it's judging by the trailer, we see him who he looks like he's a little bit older, dressed up as an admiral, and he looks like he's commanding Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Tuvok is going to be a key component in this expansion, and we get Tim Russ's voice, and Tim Russ has had a long history of voiceover work in the Star Trek universe, so I'm glad to see him attached to this.
Yeah, no doubt. But we don't have just Tim Russ on board. We've actually got several of the Voyager actors lending their voices. And just the other day, I saw both Jerry Ryan and Robert Picardo saying that they went into the studio and did their thing, reprised their characters, and said they had a great time doing it. And so now that I've watched the trailer, I'm thinking, okay, if there's anything that's going to get me to play Star Trek Online, this is probably going to be it because I love Voyager. I can't wait to hear everybody's voices again in something new. That's exciting. But if I disappear for 5 days, this is going to be why.
Yeah, like you and I might disappear. Like, you and I should do this together. We should try to find a weekend. And you and I could totally go and do this, and we could report back on To The Journey.
Oh, my gosh.
And also, Ethan Phillips is lent his voice as well.
You're right. As Garrett Wong, I don't know if I mentioned him or not.
Oh, no, you didn't. I didn't even know that. I didn't know Garrett Wong was on there, too.
No, I think he's on board, too. So it's a good handful of the actors. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah, you know what? If there's some way we could take a week off of work, both of us at the same time, and just, you know, do that typical gamer stereotype thing where for 5 days we're just sitting at the computer, we've got pizza boxes next to us, cans upon cans upon cans of soda.
Mom, more hot pockets!
Yeah. Exactly. We'd be unshowered, just same shirt on for 5 days, and all we would be doing is Star Trek Online. That would be great.
Living the dream.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yeah, so for people who do play Star Trek Online and, you know, can devote that many hours to it, we envy you.
Totally.
And this is not a judgment whatsoever, because if that's how you use your entertainment hours, fantastic. We just use them differently.
Right. Yeah, we do podcasts.
The thing is that when I play video games, like, I have a lot of video games, but I would never call myself a gamer. Like, not a hardcore gamer, but the thing is, like, when I play video games, I want to be able to play something for 20 minutes and then walk away.
Because you kind of have to, right? Like, I like that, too, where I do it in a burst.
Yeah, and Star Trek Online is not one of those games. Like, it takes 20 minutes to boot up, log in, and maybe even, like, find your ship and then travel to a different system. Like, that's how long it takes. It's insane.
That's precisely why I just simply haven't invested the time in Star Trek Online, because I know I don't have that time. I've already got, you know, things like the podcast and other hobbies that take up too much of my time already, quite frankly, and so I can't add something else onto it. Something would have to give, and I just don't know what that would be. So, therefore, I've sacrificed Star Trek Online.
Yeah, that's one of those things, is that, like, we have some other hobbies, and Star Trek Online is a hobby, and I really hope my character is still alive, like, he's still saved in the system, because that would be pretty awesome, because I'd love to go back and see how he's doing.
Who knows?
I think he was, like, a green alien with no nose and, like, long fingernails. He was kind of weird.
Yeah. Nice. Sweet. Yeah, that's the other thing that's cool about Star Trek Online, is you get to create your own characters.
Yeah, however you get to create your own characters, and it's free to play. It can be downloaded. It wasn't free when I played it, which was kind of annoying. But but yeah, it's so for everyone who have maybe taken some time off from Star Trek Online, or who have never played it to begin with, if you're Voyager fans, this might be the time to get back in.
Yeah, I'm seriously contemplating it, buddy.
All right, well, let's go into our topic of the week. And we talked about alternate universes at the beginning of the show. And what we talked about last week, or what we teased last week, was we want to talk about how Voyager would have changed if they brought on some characters from The Next Generation or Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, and this is submitted by a listener. We've gotten a lot of suggestions from all of you via Twitter or through the email portal. We love this. And so if you have an idea and you want to submit it to us, please go to trek.fm/contact or message us on Twitter. I am @TheProfanity, and you are?
I am @TheInsaneRobin.
This was an iTunes submission. So if you want to submit via a review, that's fine too, because we love our iTunes reviews. You know that if you've listened to the show before. And the person who submitted this is Stuck in the Pattern Buffer.
Great name.
Absolutely.
And also, if you have no idea what we've done in the past, or you haven't caught up with us, you haven't listened to all the episodes, and you're like, hey, this would be a good idea, I wonder if they've done that, just go to trek.fm/TTJ. So, Char.
Yes.
What did you have in mind? Now, obviously, these characters, well, maybe not so obviously, but most likely, these characters would have been brought onto Voyager at the very beginning in Caretaker, because... Mm-hmm. Using Deep Space Nine as a hub right before they get lost in the Delta Quadrant, that would be the easiest, simplest way in order to get a TNG-era character onto Voyager for its 7-year run.
Yeah, and imagine that is kind of the scenario I went with for my top pick.
All right, so who is your top pick?
My top pick is Jake Sisko.
Okay, so I thought about this the other day. And I was like, okay, who could it possibly be? And I jokingly said in my mind, Jake Sisko, and I scoffed to myself. I was like, who would he be, the tailor?
He'd be the chef. Now, here's the thing. Okay, as I contemplated this, I thought of two scenarios. You could either replace a character with a TNG/DS9 character. So who would you replace? Or would you bring on just yet another face on board, and how would they interact with the people that we do know on the show?
And so you chose Jake Sisko. Would he replace someone, or would he be just an addition?
I thought about it both ways, to be honest. So, okay, one thing that I thought about is the way you would get him on the ship is, as a journalist, he is doing a story on Voyager's mission to capture the Maquis, because the Maquis are a hot topic, and this is going to be his grand break out in the world of reporting, and this is going to make him a well-known name. And so he's going to go on the mission with them, and that's how he gets stuck out there with everybody in the Delta Quadrant. And I do think that this could be interesting because, for one thing, Jake wasn't always doing much on DS9 anyway. I mean, we knew who he was. He was an established character. He had some depth because DS9 is very good at giving their characters some depth. But I feel like of anybody on DS9, Jake Sisko could have been kind of the breakout character to cross over and go on Voyager and really develop and have a completely different life.
One question.
Yeah.
Would he keep the vests?
Of course.
Okay. All right,
good.
Of
course he would. And actually, that brings a thought that I'll mention later. So, of course, he's got the vest. Of course, he's got his pad and he's writing things down and they get stuck in the Delta Quadrant. Suddenly, being a journalist, well, sure, he could write a diary about the mission home and all that, but he needs more to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, possibility number one is Neelix doesn't happen and he becomes the chef because he's got a little bit of background in that. I mean, his grandfather has Sisko's in New Orleans. Maybe he's got some recipes.
That's true.
So he could give everybody kind of like a taste of home cuisine. And it's going to be different, of course, because he's not going to be an awful cook. But maybe he has to improvise some things and has some misadventures or something that makes it interesting. So you could do something like that where he has to figure out what the heck to do with Leola Root instead of, oh, God, he's going to put Leola Root in everything because, honestly, that's all they've got left in the storage and they have to eat. So what is he going to do with it? You could do something like that. And then, of course, you could make him a morale officer if you don't have Neelix. You could really give Jake Sisko some depth as an introspective, sensitive person listening to other people and helping them out.
Hmm.
A de facto counselor.
I like this idea, and I think it's very unique and interesting, and I honestly didn't even think to that level of Jake Sisko, and so I applaud you for doing that.
Mm.
The only thing that I keep thinking about is how Deep Space Nine would be affected.
We have to take that into account because that would drastically affect Deep Space Nine. And so then on Deep Space Nine, it too would change because you're going to have Ben Sisko dealing with the loss of his son. And honestly, I think this would kind of tie the series together a little more and make them more part of the Star Trek universe at large rather than just Deep Space Nine, just Voyager. You're going to entwine the two and make them both more relevant as a result. So I would go there. I would totally do it.
And with the Pathfinder project, you could have Ben Sisko make an appearance because he wants to talk to his son. And that would be a really cool moment where they're like, we're tuned in to Deep Space Nine, and you know, Ben Sisko has something to say, you know, and that would just
be
really cool,
right? Yeah, like he and Owen Paris could become friends because they both are mutually dealing with the potential loss of their sons. And so they both understand where the other's coming from. I mean, look at the possibilities of crossover here.
And yeah, we could see more of Owen Paris on Deep Space Nine.
Sure could.
And Ben Sisko on Voyager.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had plenty of TNG crossover with Barclay and Deanna Troi. But think about how much more we could have had just adding DS9 and Ben Sisko in the mix.
One thing, though, is that the DS9 ends before Voyager ends.
Right.
And so, and you have that moment at the end. Spoiler alert, everyone, if you haven't seen Deep Space Nine. And if you haven't already, shame on you.
Yeah.
But in the end, seriously, spoiler alert. And at the end of Deep Space Nine, Ben Sisko joins the Prophets, goes to an ethereal plane, and we don't know if he ever comes back. Now, according to the novels, he does. But on screen, we don't know.
Right.
And so I wonder how that would happen. How would that information be transported over to Voyager somehow? Like, would we need to, like, Jake Sisko needs to know this stuff. And so he's like, oh, so my dad's in an ethereal plane. Great. Again.
Yeah, still. Oh, brother.
And could that open up to some more crossover where Ben Sisko pops up on Voyager?
Ooh.
Because he's with the Prophets, and the Prophets can basically do whatever they want, alter time, change stuff around. And it doesn't mean that the Prophets only exist in the Gamma Quadrant or the Alpha Quadrant.
It's true.
Like, they're ethereal beings. They're wormhole aliens. They can do what they want.
Oh, man. So you could even have Ben Sisko communicating with Voyager via the Prophets.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I scoffed at your idea at the beginning. I am ashamed because this is a very cool idea, mainly just for the crossover potential.
Oh, man. Yeah, Totally. You just took this a step further than I even thought about, and holy wow, the potential. I think both Voyager and DS9 fanboys alike would just be gaga over this.
Yeah.
Even Matt Rushing would watch Voyager if this happened. Because he's a very strict Niner, is not a big fan of Voyager, but I'm willing to bet he's going to love this idea.
Yeah, I'm going to convert him one day. It's going to be good.
Someday, it'll happen. You know, that's something I love, is the fact that people who aren't even fans of Voyager listen to our show.
Yeah, it's true. It's
weird. We love you for that. That is so freaking cool. That makes our day. Anyway, so enough about my ideas here. What have you got up your sleeve?
I don't have a single good one. Like, I don't have something that's just like, oh, wow. No, it's like...
Oh, try me.
One thing that kept coming to my mind was medical professionals. Beverly doesn't really have much to do in the movies whatsoever. No. She is totally lost in the movies. And it's a real shame because I really like that character. But the thing is, ever since 1987, they've had no idea what to do with Beverly Crusher.
I was just going to say that, too.
None of the producers, none of the writers, they have no idea what to do with this character.
Right, yeah, forget the movies. I mean, that's just one element. They never really knew what to do with the character, period, except when they wanted her to, like, swoon over Jean-Luc.
This can go a couple different ways. We can go the accident route, or we could go the intentional route, where she's on Deep Space Nine, and she's meeting up with Julianus Bashir because they're having some sort of medical conference on Deep Space Nine. I don't know.
Hey, why not?
Whatever. She's there for some reason. And maybe the Enterprise is docked, so you have a convergence of all three shows at once.
Oh my god!
And so you have the Enterprise docked at Deep Space Nine at the same time that Voyager's docked in Deep Space Nine, and their doctor didn't show up. You know, like, he got lost, or, like, I mean, his transport got delayed, and they need to go, and they can't leave without a medical professional. And so it's down to Julian and Beverly. And so they're like, okay, well, which one is going to go for this very short mission? Beverly's like, okay, well, I'll go. Like, I'll be back in time, you know, before, you know, the Enterprise leaves the system. Mm-hmm. And so it'll all be gravy. It'll all be fine. And lo and behold, bam, she gets lost in the Delta Quadrant. But now, instead of her being a main side character, which, let's face it, that's what she was in TNG. Agreed. Yeah, she had her name in the credits, but she was much more of a side character.
Yeah.
In this one... she could be the doctor. She could be one of the main focuses. And so we'd have even more women on the show.
Yeah.
And...
Ship of the Valkyries.
The Ship of the Valkyries. And it's just, she could use her expertise because the Enterprise was always on the cutting edge. They were always out in deep space, always the first ones to meet the new races, and always the ones to make first contact. And so Beverly was always on the forefront. She was always there. And so this would be nothing new to her. And so she could bring her expertise to the table. But the thing is, I know people at home are like, what about the doc? You know, what about the holodoc? He was such a tent pole of the show. Well, I have a couple of ways that we can deal with that. She uses the doc every once in a while. He becomes the side character where he's only there for what he was intended for, an emergency medical hologram. So when she's down and out, or when it's a TRIA situation, she brings up the doc, and he kind of just stays that side character, and he doesn't really bloom into the full potential. I know a lot of people are moaning, but...
I was just going to say, you have got a lot of angry listeners right now.
I know I do, but at the same time, I have another idea to bring that down, where kind of a battle of the doctors, where you have very different personalities and very different way of doing things. It's 135 or 150 people... and they're constantly in dangerous situations, you need more than one doc. And let's face it, Voyager needed more than one doctor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the two of them in sickbay. Now, I don't think that would work very well, but at least you get the doctor full-time and you would get Beverly full-time. So that's why I'm not 100% sold on that.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm not either. Just because of what we know of how Robert Picardo develops his character, to miss out on a lot of that... Like, I don't know, if we had Beverly Crusher as the chief medical officer, I think we would have missed out on a lot of that with the EMH. He just wouldn't have been as actualized of a character, and he would have just been that bland hologram, and Bob Picardo would have been bored out of his mind. I'm sorry, I gotta reject this.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's the thing, is that that's the problem that I keep having, is that if we never knew about the EMH, if we never knew about Bob Picardo and how talented he is, Beverly, I think, would be a great choice. Now, another choice that I had, which would fill a void that was missing early on, because all we had was Samantha Wildman. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what if Jadzia from Deep Space Nine went on to Voyager?
Oh, science officer.
So she knew the Badlands. Okay, she knew them because of previous situations and because they're close to it being on Deep Space Nine. And so Janeway asked her to come along, like, hey Ben, can I borrow your science officer?
We need some expertise.
Yeah. And so Jadzia comes on for a short trip, blah blah blah. Same story, but she gets lost. And so that way we have a permanent science officer on Voyager instead of Samantha Wildman, who's only in a handful of episodes at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always that danger of, wow, I'm the only Trill on board. What happens if I die? What's going to happen to the symbiont? And so there's always that added danger, because she's the first Trill to be out that far. And maybe Terry Farrell's on for the entire time, or they find an alien who can actually accept the host. Terry Farrell can leave like she did on Deep Space Nine, and we bring on somebody else. So we fill the science void, a full-time science void, which Janeway kind of filled most of the time, and Samantha Wildman only did a little bit. And we also fill the sexy quotient. And so we may not need Seven of Nine to come on board.
No, because really, I mean, Jadzia could have theoretically ran Astrometrics.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense. And bringing her on as an expertise in the Badlands makes sense. She and Janeway could totally science out.
That's what I was thinking too. That relationship, like, you wouldn't lose the Seven of Nine Janeway relationship because you'd have Janeway and Jadzia, because you have that science connection. It would be very different. Very different, but it would still be two females having a fantastic conversation without men.
Think about this. We could have the female triad of Janeway, B'Elanna, and Jadzia Dax all nerding out over science and becoming close confidants. Kind of like how Kira and Jadzia did on Deep Space Nine. They were buddies. Imagine those three in the mess hall talking quantum mechanics.
And Jadzia and B'Elanna could talk Klingon history and Klingon culture. And maybe she's the one who helps bring B'Elanna to acceptance of her Klingon self.
Now that could be really interesting, too. That leaves Chakotay with a little less to do as kind of her close confidant.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's a sacrifice worth it.
And Kes can just remain Kes. We get a few more years of Kes.
Yeah, Kes will disappear after season 3 like she did. And now here's the question I have for you, though. Would it just be Jadzia as an additional member of the cast with the possibility of eliminating Seven of Nine altogether? Or would she replace somebody from the get-go? And who would it be?
I think there would be no Samantha Wildman and no Seven, which would mean no Naomi.
Yeah.
So I'm getting rid of 3 characters by bringing on Jadzia.
Oof. Tough.
Yeah.
Does that mean Jadzia has to get pregnant?
I thought about that. Let me rephrase that. I was thinking about that and didn't come up with an answer.
Or is it just some other junior officer who's going to take, I don't know, the role of Samantha Wildman? She is pregnant instead. And it's just somebody else we know in the background, blah, 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 blah.
That's true. I mean, it could easily be another side character. Maybe it could be a Maquis member or just somebody else, like another background character. Because, let's face it, Samantha Wildman is so easily replaced.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, she was there to give Naomi life, and that was it.
But I keep thinking about the symbiont. What's going to happen with the symbiont? Because of what I stated before, it's more dangerous because there's no Trills around. And I like the alien idea, but I want to keep Terry Farrell on for as long as possible because
totally.
We got her for 6 years on Deep Space Nine. We should at least get her for 6 years on Voyager. I don't know. I mean, maybe she'd be done with Star Trek by the 4th season. So maybe we would need to bring on some sort of Seven of Nine-like character, or maybe it could be a man this time.
What if?
And go for it.
I have an idea. What if, say, Terry Farrell decided to call it quits at the end of, say, I don't know, season 3 or season 4, and we don't get Jerry Ryan until later in the show, and we have the Ezri Dax situation happen between Jadzia Dax and Seven of Nine, and the only reason why this works is because of Borg technology, and therefore Seven of Nine can take the symbiont as Jadzia dies.
I knew that was the direction you were going in, because yeah. I was like, as soon as you said what if, and I was like, nanoprobes.
Yep. They can do anything.
Yeah. And I think that would be about the time
would work
that Terry Farrell would want to leave anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting my math right, but you know I'm horrible with these dates.
Yeah. 1998? Yes.
And so when Jerry Ryan would come on board, we would still have Seven of Nine, and we would still have that storyline, but she would have all these memories. And so we would have to see her deal with her own humanity while having memories of other people's humanity.
God, could you imagine that? Not only are you trying to figure yourself out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Minus now the collective of the Borg. But then you've got all these other past histories guiding you. Oh, man. What in the world would that do to poor Seven?
Yeah. We would have much more psychological issues with Seven than we did.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And now I know we did have some where, you know, like with the Binculum and, mm-hmm. And also her like, oh, I slaughtered millions. Individuality. You know, we had all that stuff going on. But we'd have even more stuff. Like, think about the individuality section of the show, which was massive. What is it to be an individual, and what is it to be an individual with Trill memories?
Yeah. You've got kind of like this new little collective in your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you could do an episode about that. You could do like you know how like you had the mini collective, or I think it's the episode's called Collective, and about the people that she brought into her own mini collective, and they couldn't have a moment alone. What if somehow she was able to manifest these voices and hear them in her head, like the collective? So all of the past lives of the Dax symbiont,
yeah, or you
she can
even
hear
do,
in her head,
like a Unimatrix Zero kind of thing, where she interacts with them.
So it would be like a blend or a mix between Voyager's Unimatrix Zero One or Voyager's Collective and Deep Space Nine's Facets. Do you remember that episode?
Oh, I love that episode. Yeah, it could be this massive hybrid of all of those things. That could be very cool.
Yes, and she could do the whole Facets thing, mm-hmm. but like the Seven of Nine version.
Sure. Yeah. Although it would be kind of fun to see the other characters playing the previous host, too, like in Facets. Like, who would be whom?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, who would be whom? Like, you know Neelix would be Curzon.
Of course, because he loves Klingons.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. This could be another podcast topic unto itself. Like, seriously, we could probably go on and on. But I'm just going to spend the rest of the afternoon imagining this now and then. Like, imagining the characterization, like, you know, Captain Janeway as so-and-so and how that person would act, and Kate Mulgrew playing this thing. Yeah. Okay, I'm set for the day. Thanks.
Man,
we gotta end the show
now.
I'm
just itching to watch Deep Space Nine now.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. I want to go watch Facets.
Now, one thing about Facets, and this is... Okay, so I loved that Ben Sisko was Joran, so he was the murderer. He was the evil
mm-hmm.
one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, is that Avery Brooks gave this cool characterization of Joran, where it was very unique. It was very creepy. It was mm-hmm. It was very much like open the force field, Jetsia. You know, like he had those crazy eyes and the
yeah.
psycho tone to his voice.
Do that, Dave.
But when we saw Joran again in that episode, I can't remember right now, when Ezri is visualizing Joran, like she calls him about. And I think this using the same methods as in Facets, the characterization that Ben Sisko established was completely gone.
Hmm.
Like that actor did not take on the persona that Ben Sisko set about, or that Avery Brooks set. And that always bothered me.
Yeah. Consistency, people. Come on.
I'm going to trash the Beverly idea. I'd say that was a bad idea.
Okay,
and I'm just
going to
go with Jadzia as my choice. And so... Jake Sisko is your choice. So we both, instead of TNG, we both came up with Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Here's the thing with TNG is I really couldn't think of a good reason or a good scenario where the TNG characters would come aboard and stay aboard Voyager. Because I thought about, well, what about Will Riker as the first officer? Would that be so great? No. Who else would it be? Deanna Troi?
The only other thing that I could think of was LeVar Burton as Geordi LaForge, because he was another person who got lost in the movies.
Yeah, a little bit.
When Geordi was a guest on Voyager in
Timeless.
In Timeless, thank you. It just fit. It felt right. And so One thing that I thought is like, we could keep B'Elanna, but the thing is, they try to have dual citizenship of chief engineer, or they do something along those lines. The same amount of authority, but just in different ways in engineering. I haven't really thought it out. But the thing is, they totally battle, because Geordi is all about the book, all about, you know, Starfleet, and B'Elanna is absolutely not. And so we have that Carrie B'Elanna relationship, but to the nth degree.
Yeah, okay. I figured this is where you were going with it. A season one scenario with this. Yeah, take Joe Carey out of the equation and put in Geordi LaForge. Yeah, you're going to totally amp up that conflict. And I think Geordi LaForge would totally outrank and totally take ownership as the chief engineer. I think B'Elanna would probably have to fight just to get assistant to the chief engineer.
Yeah.
But then that would, I feel like that would really hurt the B'Elanna character, or I don't know, would it hurt her? Would it make her prove herself that much more? And would they have to, would she really have to butt her way in to get her ideas heard? And would that make her stronger? I have a hard time with it. Like, it could be good, but maybe it's a little too much.
Yeah, it would be, like, you would definitely change the character and alter the character where, you know, Geordi doesn't trust B'Elanna, and he, you know, but the thing is, she proves herself because of her ingenuity and her you know, her crazy ideas and everything like that. And so he's like, okay, well, you've proven yourself as a valued member of the engineering staff. And so, I don't know, like it was just, it was just, that was the only thing that I could think would possibly work from TNG.
Another idea is, this could really tear B'Elanna up as for whether or not she wants to keep vying for the respect and the title of getting along and being a respected engineer aboard the ship by playing along with Geordi and kind of, you know, trying to make the peace with him. Or does she side a little more with Seska and want to rebel and take over, and then we have more of a Maquis conflict?
I think it's fun. Either way, I think it opens up a lot of opportunities, but I do think that Jadzia and Jake is a much better choice than Geordi.
I thought about how you could get a TNG character aboard, and I couldn't think of anything better than a cameo. I feel like the writers did do that aspect of things correctly. I'm glad that we saw what we saw with Will Riker and Deanna Troi and Reginald Barkley. Having them on as a permanent cast member, really tough. And I'm glad they didn't go there. Yeah, apparently, DS9 is the way to do this. Crossing over characters isn't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They look at the original series episodes, and they see thematically what it is that works, and they pick that in order to explore, like, a different side of it.
Earl Grey.
No, do you guys seriously not know why they have red and green lights?
No. Not all of us have read Ships of the Line.
Okay, no.
Wait, is this in Ships of the Line? I'm only in, like, chapter one.
No, I'm talking about, like, real ships today.
Have you been on a ship, Darren?
The Orb.
Them being adversarial, I don't think necessarily was the only way they could have gone. It makes for a great story, but it just made me wonder, just in a possible universe, what would have happened.
I think it's important, though, that she, as the religious leader, is not sold on the idea that this outsider is their emissary.
To the journey!
Endgame cannot make my list.
I don't have as much hatred for Endgame as you or apparently everybody else does.
Oh, not that I'm bitter or anything, no.
Warp 5.
So I would argue in the case of what Paxton is doing here in firing a weapon at San Francisco, which luckily missed and went into the bay, and I don't know if, I guess George and Gracie aren't there right in the 22nd century, so they're okay, but...
The Ready Room.
They could have really diverged with what we knew of Will and made Thomas's own unique character. I mean, he is, but, like, if we can get multiple Burial episodes, why can't Thomas Riker have more than one episode?
Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast.
And he happens to figure it all out. That's enough to drive an audience.
We need to get Will Wheaton on the show, because I will defend Wesley in this episode against the guy who played Wesley.
Okay.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
There was an interview, I think, with JJ, where they were talking to him, and he was saying that, you know, oh, my dad was friends with Nicholas Meyer back in the day. I remember going to Meyer's house when I was a kid.
He had a whole bunch of really cool things in his house, and I thought, I would like to break someone's eggs.
Literary Trex.
But I do like
I
want
to see Spock with a perm.
Oh gosh. Well,
I think I've got a Photoshop project in my future with this cover right here.
Melodic Trex.
It's like, oh, this happened. Oh, this is so good. It was.
No
it was
joke.
Just
that
amazing.
Is how she reacts. And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of our shows. We are available on virtually every single platform, and we have multiple ways that you can get us, especially the master feed. I know I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again because it is my favorite way to get Trek FM podcasts. Plus, you get content on that feed that you do not get anywhere else, such as Mission Log and other special treats. So check that out if you haven't already. None of our shows would be possible without the help of our sponsor, and so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So, Tristan, what have we got lined up for next week?
Next week, we have something that we've been floating around in our heads for a long time. And what we're going to do is, and you know we love our lists, mm-hmm. is our top five favorite lines from Voyager. And these could be awkward one-liners. These could be funny one-liners. They could be dramatic one-liners. It's those lines that help define the show. But you're going to have to tune in next week to hear it. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey! Very good.